Lesson 5, Set You Free. You're hanging on as night turns to dawn. I know you can't stay, and soon you'll be gone. We both know it's hard to let go. Wherever you are, my love won't be far. Your smile, your touch, your voice, your face, your essence, I will never replace. Though I long for you to hold me, I need to set you free. There is no fear, and your leaving is clear. We'll still have our love, it remains with each tear. I cry as you leave, though I truly believe, as you leave my sight, we'll both be all right. Your smile, your touch, your voice, your face, your essence, I will never replace. Though I long for you to hold me, I need to set you free. Though you have flown to somewhere unknown, we're never apart. You're here in my heart. Your smile, your touch, your voice, your face, your essence, I will never replace. Though I long for you to hold me, I need to set you free. Though I long for you to hold me, I need to set you free. The title of my song, Set You Free, implies that I'm setting someone else free. But Set You Free was personal. It was not only about my struggle with letting go. It turned out that I needed to set myself free. With 3 songs, I can see an interesting progression. So Real is about living with grief. Every Season is about remembering grief. And Set You Free is about anticipating grief. Set You Free is one of several songs composed during a time of great turmoil in my life. It's no coincidence that it mentions hanging on. The pain of watching my parents decline affected me deeply. I was thankful for music. It was my comforting companion. I really didn't know how to handle my parents' suffering. They had supported me emotionally when Jason died, and for years after that. My grief over losing them reignited my grief for Jason. Normally, I pushed down and denied my feelings. But everything changed when I opened up. My biggest revelation when I wrote Set You Free was that I had no idea I would end my marriage a year later. After Set You Free, I wrote 2 other songs named The Unknown and The Door. Initially, I felt guilty and horrified for expressing how unhappy I was in my marriage. I was terribly lonely. It turned out that writing songs about my loneliness gave me understanding and great clarity about my true emotions. I played Set You Free at my father's funeral, and a year later when my mother was close to death, I gently sang it to her. I reached the last line and the room was very quiet. It seems that she had taken her last breath with the final words of my song. Set You Free helped me heal in so many profound ways. I was inspired to name my first meditation album Set You Free from Grief for that reason. I want to share more about the actual experience of composing this important song. I often missed my friend Cheryl, who died from breast cancer a few years before. Set You Free was born when I was feeling sad on Cheryl's birthday. She was my best friend in college, and it was hard for me to believe that she had died. Sometimes it was easier to imagine she was still alive and living far away. When we were older, life was busy, but I missed our former closeness. Sometimes there were special moments when I could hear her voice. It was recognizable and always comforting. There was no mistaking the cackle in it. We both used to laugh so easily. The smile in her voice was like music filling my mind, traveling straight to my heart and spreading comfort throughout my body. Those times were fleeting, but it was always music that brought Cheryl back to me. I was sad because I knew Cheryl would have some wisdom to offer me as I coped with my parents' suffering. My mother's dementia was worsening. She still recognized me, but was terribly confused and anxious. My father was now in a wheelchair and plagued by constant infections. He would say he wasn't in pain, but he continuously moaned under his breath. He was in and out of the hospital with painful urinary tract issues. With those problems, he suddenly lost his independence and was moved from an assisted living situation to a skilled nursing facility. This happened while I was writing my song. In some ways, it was harder watching my father suffer because of his awareness. As he became more dependent upon caregivers, he became more despondent and often complained how much he hated his life. A few moments earlier, I had spoken with him on the phone. He was very sick, and he refused to allow me to take him to the hospital. And so it was on that stressful day that Cheryl visited me. I was listening to one of the songs I wrote for her in my darkened bedroom, and my tears were flowing. I cried because it was hard to accept that she was really gone. But then I heard her voice and her sweet encouragement. Gently, she reminded me that I was not alone. She would always be with me, especially when I played my guitar. After her voice quieted, I stood up to address my emptiness inside. My eyes were still wet with tears as I explored new fingerings on my guitar, and soon beautiful chords began to appear. My melancholy was gone. I put down my guitar to answer the phone. The call was to inform me that my father was being taken to a nearby hospital emergency room by ambulance. I left in the summer twilight to go to the hospital. When I returned home, it was very late and I couldn't sleep. I finger-picked my guitar and felt inspired. Lyrics formed in my mind to go with the beautiful new guitar chords I had discovered earlier in the day. My new song, which I named Set You Free, began with the words, "You're hanging on as night turns to dawn." Many times, my progress toward healing was revealed to me while under hypnosis. I want to describe an especially meaningful hypnotherapy session I've named. I'm not a poster child anymore. I came to Connie's guest house for a hypnotherapy session. I said, "I've totally connected to the up and out. I had no idea how much there was inside of me." But then I decided to mention Jason's upcoming birthday. I had lived through many of those since his death in 1992. I shared with Connie that I had recently visited his grave. I told her I chose not to remember anything related to him for such a long time. Recently, I looked through his pictures and I read those tearjerker messages on special cards. The up and out began as I shared how there were a few pictures that really caused my heart to ache. As I described those pictures, I could feel tears rising in my throat. The splashing took over. My voice became tight, and I took a deep breath to calm myself. I had a picture of him, I told her. He was wearing a paper crown the preschool used to make on his birthday. He looked so happy. With that image, I felt the waves of pain crash over me. The memory was so intense, I hurtled back through time, and I could see the moment in front of my eyes. 18 birthdays may have come and gone since then, but my son would always be 5 years old. During hypnosis, I let go. I felt light and I was calm. Connie suggested that I find an image of a beautiful place. I chose something outdoors. I could smell the pine forest. I was in a place that was like a fairyland when I was a child. Nothing was more magical than a forest when I was a young girl. Connie asked me if I wanted to talk about Jason. It had been such a long time since he died, and I didn't know what to say. But with my eyes closed, the words began to form. I said, "I lost something that I love so deeply. Losing him was like an amputation of my soul. I still love my other children. They will grow up, and I will always love them. Jason is different. He will always be with me in another way. He is not part of my life, and I can't see him. But he represents the kind of love that will follow me for the rest of my life. It's a love that is so pure. I don't have to be a poster child to prove that there is recovery from grief. I don't always have to be smiling, and I don't have to prove to anyone that I've moved on. I can still cry and feel pain for not having my beautiful child to hold. I can still cry because I can't see him grow up and have the life I thought he was entitled to. I may continue to cry for him when I am very old. The difference is that now I want to remember him, even if that makes me cry. It's okay, because my life is wonderful. I have so much joy and excitement about living. I'll always carry memories of him with me. I can feel the heartache, because even with the tears, his pure love will stay with me forever. I began writing Set You Free because I thought my father's death was imminent. He did recover, and his suffering continued. There was much more to my song, though, than my father's situation. My song related to other possible scenarios in my life where I needed to let go. I projected myself into the future and imagined how I might feel watching my children grow up and leave. Because I had micromanaged their lives for so many years, my song helped me envision them independent and leaving me in a beautiful way. Because my songs come from my subconscious, sometimes I find my lyrics to carry additional meanings later on. I began to picture Cheryl as I sang the lyrics because she had inspired me to compose the first chords of my song. She had flown to somewhere unknown, and my grief over her death was something I had difficulty with. There were many unresolved feelings from the past, and I needed to set her free as well as my grief for her. As I shared with our first lesson, So Real, during my early bereavement, the hardest part of each and every day was waking up. I would wake up to face the unbelievable truth that I would never ever see my beloved child again. I would never hear his voice, feel his touch, or smell his sweet hair. When my grief eased into numbness, there were no tears left. Because I had cried from grief, day after day, week after week, and year after year, it gave me a perspective that there would never be an end to the pain of that dimension. But eventually, a day came when my tears finally stopped. When that happened, it was ironic that I missed them. With my tears, I felt like my beloved son was close to me. I did not want to forget what I loved so much, his smell, his touch, his voice. I was worried that I would forget what was once such a real part of my life. So when my tears stopped, it was only because I could no longer remember him as clearly. Now there was actually a different form of sadness, because I felt farther away from what I was holding on to so tightly. Initially, I choked up every time I sang the chorus lyrics of "Your smile, your touch, your voice, your face, your essence I will never replace." But not long after my song was written, I was singing those words, and I realized that my emotions weren't related to pain or sadness. As I remembered Jason's unforgettable essence, I was overcome by deep gratitude. I had finally let go of my grief for him. It was then that I understood. My song was about setting myself free. I've once again shared how music and writing helped me maintain my positive outlook, but I realize not everyone composes or writes. I believe the key is finding a way to express your pain. Allow yourself to find ways to share your grief. Every person has the ability to discover something that can set him or her free. You could speak your truth by meditating, hiking, drawing, or even sharing stories about your loved one with a friend who cares. With the words, "I need to set you free," I acknowledge the difficult task I faced. Letting go with determination and love enabled me to cope as I faced the inevitable goodbye. What are the things you would like to let go of? Perhaps just having that awareness will help you move slowly away from what imprisons you. I encourage you to envelop yourself with memories. Love remains with each tear, and whether my memories are happy or sad, I allow them. My loved one's essence will never leave me. I believe tears release pain. With love and self-compassion, cry when the feeling arises. Remember, you are healing with every sob and every teardrop.